And we're back. It's Classic Mischief, your host, and my co-host, Trevor Nordstrom. Trevor, how you doing?
Good, Chris. How you doing, man?
Good, man. It's good to be back. Again, it's been a while, but I'm really happy we got our a sponsor back, Anchor, which is really great. Made a deal with them. And yeah, first I want to talk about that. It's really easy to use, especially if you're new to podcasting. It's really easy to access. I mean, for example, my co-host Trevor, I can just send him a link and he connects right away, and the sound is great and there's no complications. Don't you like using it, Trevor?
Makes my life 10 times easier. You know, it's easy for us to do this podcast. You send the link, I click it, I join, and we get to do something we both love and that our fans enjoy. So thank you, Anchor.
And it's free. It's free. And it's like the best. You can make cuts, edits, anything you want, you can put in.
Makes podcasting easy.
Yeah, definitely. So what's up with you, Trevor? We haven't talked in a while.
Yeah, man.
So what's going on?
Same old, same old. You know, I'm still at Hiram College in Ohio. I'm still in nursing. In the middle of my lacrosse season right now. Go Terriers. And yeah, that's really just about it, Chris. What's going on with you, man?
So now I'm at Ohio Wesleyan University. It's near the Columbus area. I play golf there, major in business. That's about it. I was at, I think the last podcast we did, I was at Wharton, right?
That sounds about right. Yeah. When you were still in Texas.
I'm trying to think when we did our last podcast.
The last podcast we did was the, how we, oh my gosh, There Will Be Blood podcast. I think we might've been home for that one this summer.
Okay. Yeah, that might have been it. But we didn't really talk about what was going on. We just more talked about that amazing movie.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to that podcast, please go ahead. It's on our Spotify account. Go ahead and listen to it. We break down the movie There Will Be Blood, which is, I think that's probably my favorite podcast we've done, Chris. I don't know about you.
Yeah. Little hint, we'll be talking about movies again today. Oh, so let's go right into it so we can get into that closing bell argument. So first, We're going to go over March Madness today. One of my favorite times of the year. I mean, March Madness, you know, school's kind of coming to a close, and you have the Masters coming up, which we'll do another podcast on. How big of a March Madness fan are you, Trevor?
You know, as older I've been getting, you know, I haven't been paying attention to as much as I did when I was in high school. You know, in high school, you weren't really doing any of the homework. You were just watching games or whatever device you used. Now I don't have that much time, which stinks, but I am a fan and I still do love to participate in the, you know, fill out the brackets and make it a couple bets here or there.
Yeah. March Madness in high school was peak.
Oh yeah.
That was so, so great. I mean, just you're sitting there and you're watching all the games. You got your bracket on your computer. Oh, it was awesome.
You know, even like when your teacher was like, yeah, I don't care about class today. We're just going to watch basketball. Like that was,
yes.
We had a lot of guys like that. Shout out Brooks Neverly.
Oh, he was great. Yeah. Love that guy.
Oh yeah.
All right. Let's go through the sheet. So first we're going through our best bracket. Obviously I'm guessing, Trevor, you've made more than one.
Yes. Yes.
So your best bracket, or the one that's, you know, money line one, we're going through our sleepers and our keepers. Kind of like the teams that we're cheering for this year. I don't know if you have a team, Trevor, that you're kind of rooting for.
I'm going for U of I just because we're from Illinois. And
U of I, okay. We'll talk a little bit about the, like, the NIL stuff. And then along with that, that goes into it, which is the NCAA new EA Sports game, which I'm definitely going to get.
Oh, I'm spending $120 on that game easily.
How much? Do you know how much it's going to be?
I really hope it's probably going to be the standard 70, but if they do make, I'm assuming they'll make like an ultimate edition or like a deluxe edition, like they do all the sports games. And if they do, they will take my money because that's a childhood favorite game for me.
Or like the first 2 months, it's like $100 or something like that.
What are you talking about, Chris?
Like when the game comes out, it's usually like $20 more than it is. Like,
oh, that's true.
Buy it later.
No, they could still take my money.
And then our end, that's hopefully we'll go into another podcast. We'll go over our top 10 favorite movies and maybe compare a little bit.
Absolutely.
Hopefully you have your 10.
I do. I do. I hope you have.
All right, good. All right, let's go through your bracket, Trevor. Let's go to the east side first. I know the bracket's already started, so.
Yeah, so We all know that none of us are perfect at all right now.
Yeah. I love how everyone, like, I talked to is like, oh, my bracket's going to be perfect this year. I'm like, nope, my bracket's not going to be perfect. Yours isn't going to be perfect. No one's going to win.
Especially after last night just really solidified, like, after
there's going to be an upset every year, an Oakland upset.
Kentucky.
What was it? Kentucky. I mean,
Duke there you go. Beat BYU. That was another one.
Yeah, I actually had that upset.
Did you really? Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm the only one who didn't have that.
I don't know. I just didn't trust BYU. They're not really much of a basketball school.
No. Oregon beat South Carolina, too. Another upset.
So I'm going to go through my East, Trevor. Or you want to go through your East side?
Yeah, we can go. We can alternate.
So I have first round, I have UConn, Northwestern, San Diego State, Auburn, and then who beat BYU?
Duquesne.
Duquesne. Then I have Illinois, Drake, and they lost. And then Iowa State. Who's your first 32 there?
So I had almost everything that you said, but the only difference I had was I had BYU beating Duquesne, and I also did have Washington State winning, which they
did. Oh, okay.
So.
And then
too crazy.
I have San Diego State upsetting Auburn. What do you think about that?
Oh, I could. That's definitely a possibility. I picked Auburn, but I definitely am not like, oh yeah, Auburn's a lock. No, I definitely, that was a toss up.
I think Auburn won the SEC conference. They did. I could be wrong, but
they did.
They're tough. San Diego State's good too. So then I have Iowa State beating Drake. Obviously Drake wasn't there. Then I have Illinois winning. And then I have Illinois beating Iowa State, UConn beating San Diego State. So the Elite Eight in the East is UConn versus Illinois. And guess what? I have Illinois in my Final Four.
Me too.
That's sweet. Is that kind of similar to you, or do you have Auburn beating?
I have UConn beating Auburn. I think San Diego State's going to lose to Auburn as well. I have Illinois winning the East.
Nice. Wait, you have Auburn winning the East?
No, Illinois.
Illinois, okay.
Illinois.
All right, let's go down to the West, Trevor.
All right.
So I have North Carolina, Mississippi State, they lost. Then I have St. Mary's, Alabama, the Lobos, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Baylor Bears, they're playing right now, I think, versus Colgate.
Baylor 36, Colgate 23 right now.
Okay. I think they should handle business there.
Yeah,
they I had Nevada. Nevada was winning the whole game versus Dayton.
Great comeback, Dayton. You got to give Dayton credit. They came back and won that game rightfully so.
And Nevada's like dynamite in the bracket. They're always making it to Elite Eight or sometimes Final Four.
Yeah, no. Nevada sold.
And then Arizona. Is that pretty similar to you? I'm guessing you had Michigan State.
I do. I did have Michigan State. And I just want to bring up, you didn't want to take Wagner over North Carolina, Chris? You sure?
No.
No?
I don't really know much about Wagner, to be honest.
I was just making a joke. Wagner was obviously going to get waxed by North Carolina, which they did. I have Grand Canyon beating St. Mary's.
Okay. That's a good upset.
And everything else is right in line. I had Nevada winning as well.
Okay. Then, so you, who do you have St. Mary's or do you have, oh, wait, no, who do you have beating St. Mary's?
Grand Canyon.
And then, do you have Grand Canyon beating Alabama?
Oh, no. Alabama will win that. And they'll play North Carolina in the Sweet 16.
Okay.
I got North Carolina winning that game.
And then you have North Carolina in the Final Four?
No, I have Baylor in the Final Four.
Okay. Baylor's tough. They're big.
Yeah, they are big.
All right, let's go. I have to say, I have North Carolina in my Final Four. I have Baylor, North Carolina, and the Elite Eight. So pretty similar. All right, so for the South, this is where things get interesting.
Very interesting.
Because there's three really good teams. Duke, Houston, and Marquette.
Yeah.
And with Kentucky out, I like Marquette's chances even more.
Yeah.
All right, so let's just make this easy. I have Marquette versus Duke in my Elite Eight. Duke beating Houston in the Sweet 16. I don't know why I don't trust Houston. They've kind of a weak schedule.
You know, and I don't mean Duke, to cut you off.
What's up?
I don't mean to cut you off, but
you got it.
Big 12 championship game. Iowa State really exploited Houston. And
yeah.
I've been telling everybody this, that Houston was my favorite going into this. But Iowa State really took it to them, and they beat them. And I think anybody could beat Houston. Well, not obviously everybody, but I don't think they're going to win it all anymore. And that's why I have, I have Marquette beating Duke in the Final Four for that bracket.
You mean in the Elite Eight?
In the Elite Eight, yes, yes.
That's what I have. I have Marquette. Well, that's just because also a lot of my uncles went to Marquette as well.
It's close to Chicago.
Yeah. Private, you know, yeah. Out of state.
A good school.
All right. Do you have Colorado upset Florida or?
No.
Florida?
I got Florida.
And then do you have NC State or?
I did pick NC State. I did.
Yeah, they're good. State. All right. Now to the Midwest, my favorite conference or section, I guess. Really, this is kind of similar to the South, but I don't think Purdue is as good as Houston.
No.
Tennessee is very good. Creighton's very good.
Yep.
Texas is very good. Gonzaga is very good. It's going to be super interesting. It could be anyone that comes out of the Midwest.
Especially from yesterday's games, you have Tennessee, Texas coming up. You have Oregon, Creighton. Oregon just came off of an upset. You have Kansas, Gonzaga. Literally, I mean, it's so hard to pick who's going to win this next round. I mean, we all know Purdue will probably make it to the Sweet 16, but
I think they will too.
They have a weaker side of the bracket.
Did you have TCU? Who's playing TCU?
Utah State, and I have TCU.
Okay. Yeah, TCU's power, power five.
Yeah.
I don't really know much about Utah State. I know that they're in the tournament a lot.
I know it's going to be a good game. I know Jordan Love played football at Utah State, but that's just about
it. That's right. All right, so let's go into the Final Four then. Who do you have beating Purdue?
Where is it? I have Tennessee beating Purdue.
Oh, so Tennessee in the Final Four.
Yes.
I love that. So your Final Four is Marquette, Tennessee, Illinois, and Baylor?
Yes, sir.
That's interesting. And then who's your champion?
U of I.
U of I have Tennessee. I have Tennessee versus Illinois in the championship.
We have very similar bracket, Chris.
I'm really biased though towards Tennessee. I feel like and Illinois.
I wonder why.
Yeah, but they're both good. That's the thing. Like I know I'm biased, but at the same time, they're very good teams.
You know, I gotta go for U of I, man. Like we're from Illinois. This is probably I think their best year that they for the chance to win March Madness. So I gotta go for them.
So. Next, we're going to our sleepers and our keepers. In terms of keepers, I think it's pretty obvious. UConn, I know I have Illinois in my Final Four. UConn is insane.
Yeah.
UConn is very good. They will be really hard to beat. I know Creighton beat them, but Creighton's also really good.
That side of the bracket, Chris, that whole Midwest bracket is tough. It's a very – like we were just talking about, anyone can win at this point out of that bracket. It's really rough. It's hard to gauge, but you want to root for.
Yeah. So what do you think of my keepers, Trevor, if you're looking at it right now?
We'll see. So for everyone listening, he's got UConn, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Marquette. They're all keepers in my book, too.
I think those are Elite Eight locks, I think.
Absolutely.
Especially after, UNC's a one seed. Tennessee already won. Marquette now has no Kentucky.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you could throw Purdue in there just because they're going to make it to the second round. And I think they could beat the winner of Gonzaga and Kansas. So you could throw Purdue in there just because they have a weak schedule.
So you think look at Gonzaga. Gonzaga's good or Kansas.
I think TCU. I think Purdue. I don't think TCU is going to beat Purdue. I think that's a little bit of a stretch. And I really do think that Purdue can take care of Kansas and Gonzaga. But hey, right. I could be wrong. What do I know?
And in terms of sleepers, a lot. I mean, obviously Oakland now. I mean, wow. Oh,
you got to add them to the board now.
Oakland's very good. But in terms of people who I actually think have a chance at like a Sweet 16, San Diego State, I think, has a chance at Sweet 16.
Yeah.
I think JMU has a chance at Sweet 16. They play Wisconsin.
Okay.
They can upset them. Duke's going to be tough, but I think JMU has the best record in the tournament.
Yeah.
I think they only have like two losses or three losses or something like that.
I want to say you're right. I haven't looked. But
And then Colorado, they're very good. They came in second in the Pac-12. Very underrated.
Marquette's going to take care of them.
Okay. I'm just saying it in terms of sleepers that have a chance.
You know, I really thought that Akron was going to make a run, but they did not make a run against Creighton yesterday. I was rooting for them.
Yeah.
I thought St. Pete, hope on a prayer, they might have made another run. Oh, they did not.
But I was hoping for a better game versus Tennessee.
Yeah, that was a roll, man. Tennessee took care of them.
So I was watching that yesterday, and Tennessee was playing all their starters. When there's like four minutes left, they're up by like 25.
All right, that's a little excessive.
I don't know what they were doing.
Whatever. But no, sleepers are definitely San Diego State, JMU, Colorado, and now Oakland.
Yeah. So do you have like you kind of already covered it, but do you have a favorite team that you root for? If that's Illinois, I know we mentioned Marquette. Is there anyone that like you just have like a bias towards?
I do like TCU a lot. Like, I don't know if you remember in high school, like I really wanted TCU, and I just have always loved, I went down, visited the school, love the campus. It's beautiful in Texas. You know, everything's better in Texas. And I do hope TCU does have a good tournament because I love their football team, you know, especially when Max Duggan had his little run. They made the national championship, but then they got rolled. I'm rooting for TCU. I hope they have some fun.
Definitely.
What about you?
They're good. My girlfriend goes to Tennessee. I'm a huge Knoxville, Tennessee advocate.
Big Vol?
Big Vol fan. And not only do I cheer for them, I think they're going to win it, or at least be in contention. So,
yeah.
That's the top team I'm cheering for. And then I already mentioned this, but I'm cheering for JMU, James Madison. I think that would be a really cool run.
Yeah.
They have some shooters on that team that could get hot. And then Iowa State, my dad went there.
Did he really?
Yeah, he went there. And they're good. So if they make it, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, my dad always talks about DePaul because that's where he went. And he was playing he went to college in the late 80s, early 90s. And that's when, you know, DePaul had a really good basketball team. And I really hope to see DePaul, you know, make a comeback within their program one of these days, because they do have a really good basketball history.
Do you know what the problem is, though, Trevor, with them?
What is
it? They don't have a home court.
No, they do not. They play at the Chicago – what is it, Wintrust? The Wintrust Arena?
Yeah. So when they have these recruits come and the recruits are like, oh, where do we play? Like, oh, you have to drive an hour.
And it's
how is that appealing?
It's only 20 miles, but it is an hour because of the traffic in Chicago. You know, DePaul's on the north side. You're going down to South Loop. No, I agree. It's frustrating.
They did used to have really good teams. Are they still in the Big East? I think they are.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. I mean, they used to be the best team in the Big East every year, and it wasn't even close.
Yeah, no, without a doubt.
And the problem is they don't get the good players in Chicago anymore.
Nope.
All the Chicago players go out of state and to big schools, and it used to be like, okay, you're the best player from Chicago, or you're going to DePaul.
Yep.
And that's completely changed.
And, you know, it all comes down to what we're going to talk to you next, which is this NIL stuff, which is really making a contributing role into that. More prevalent in football, but it's starting to make its effect into other sports. And it's starting to be a big, big factor on recruiting, which is a business.
Yeah, right. And let's just jump right into that. I don't know. Is there anyone at Hiram that you know that has ever had an NIL deal or anything like that?
So it's funny you mentioned that. We actually got a text. Let me read you this text. It was from this random number, and it was something about an NIL shop. And I texted my coach, and I'm like, hey, coach, what's this? Like, I don't know if it's a scam. I don't know if this is something the school is trying to do. But apparently what my school is trying to do is all of our students, they're trying to set up an NIL shop for us. So we don't have to go out and do it ourselves. So it's all through the school. And the school will get a percentage as much as we get a percentage. And it's just, you know, T-shirts and hoodies. It's nothing crazy. But our school is trying to put stuff out like that. And there are some guys that have signed up for it, and they have their NIL shops. A couple guys on my team did it. I personally haven't done it just because I'm probably going to make 3 cents off of a T-shirt that no one will probably buy. Not like against it for some people. And again, you know, we're in the D3 market. The market's just not as lucrative as the D1 market at all.
Well, not even D1, like Power 5, probably.
You're right. Power 5 is where it's at. If you really want to make money in the NIL, Big 10, ACC, SEC, Big 12, right. that's where you got to be.
Because honestly, if you're not in those conferences, I mean, even like a lower...
Even like a lower,
you know, what's it called? Power 5 school, you know? You won't get the same deals as, like, let's say, you know, Georgia, you know, versus, like, for example, Syracuse or something like that, or Wake Forest.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. It's all geographically, like, where your school is, what kind of alumni have come out of it. Something that I always thought was very interesting is, with NIL, how haven't the Ivy Leagues gotten better at football or basketball?
Right.
You know, you have these rich donors, and, you know, why haven't they given these recruits more money? And it's just people just don't want to go to these Ivy League schools, you know, which I thought was kind of crazy. You know, you can get more money going to an Ivy League school via NIL.
I think the alumni don't want the Ivy League to turn into like an athlete, like a athletic conference. They like it how it is. You know, they don't want to turn into some, you know, some SEC or something like that.
We got to think about it, Chris. Back in the day, the Ivy League was number one for everything. I mean, football, baseball, basketball.
Well, that's because it was the first conference.
And that's why they take pride on winning. You know, they still do to this day. Like, college hockey, it's still really prevalent in Ivy Leagues and lacrosse and wrestling even. Very, very good schools for those sports.
If the Ivy League really wanted to be good at sports, you know what they would do? They would offer athletic scholarships, but they don't do that.
I agree.
So that needs to change for sure.
I doubt it will, but you're right. If they do want to make their comeback into glory or the powerhouse, they will need to give
that. I mean, obviously they offer a lot of college athletes, you know, academic money.
Yeah.
Or leadership money. I remember there was a couple kids at our high school, Mount Carmel, that got accepted to Ivy League schools because they played football.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Well, he's a smart kid, though.
Oh, my gosh. He was so smart. He wanted to be a doctor at Penn, man. I mean, that's
crazy. Right.
But now he's kicking butt at U of I, starting linebacker. Hopefully we see him submit himself for the draft next year.
Right.
That'd be great.
So going back to this NIL stuff, I love how it's all still not 100% regulated. It's impossible to regulate it. And then next on the sheet, I want to talk about last year was the most college athlete lawsuits ever. Like, obviously I'm talking about NIL stuff too, but like in terms of like violence, everything, it was the most ever last year, but obviously it was most NIL stuff.
Yeah. Last year was crazy when it comes down to that stuff. You know, not that the NIL stuff is out of hand, but it's just regulated, and that it not being regulated, it's causing all these lawsuits, this violence, all this greed, you know.
Because don't know when an NIL is a gift or when it's a job.
Exactly.
When is it taxed? When is it not?
100%.
I mean, can you have an agent? Can you not have an agent? You know, it's really touchy.
It's so touchy, and it's kind of frustrating because I'm not saying that college athletes should be primarily focused on NIL. I mean, you still need to perform in your sport. And if you can't perform in your sport, then you shouldn't get any NIL. But I'd be really PO'd if I was good. I was a Heisman contender and I just wasn't getting paid appropriately if I did everything the ethical and guideline rules that they claim are by the book. You know, it's definitely, and then you have guys like DeColdis Crawford out of Nebraska who got a job with a HVAC company and they're giving him millions of dollars just for his name. Like it's so flawed. It's
right.
Chris, do you have any guys at OWU who are in NIL?
I don't think so. Not that I've heard of. It was more when I was at Belmont. There was probably one or two guys that had something on the baseball team, and then Belmont basketball is pretty good. So there was, I think the starting five each had some sort of small deal.
Yeah.
With a small company. Obviously it wasn't a lot of money, but you have to be at the big schools. So.
And does OWU like give you guys opportunities for NIL? Do they support your athletes in doing that?
Not really.
I wonder why.
OWU is more, well, Ohio Wesleyan, is more about, I think, let's just say they're not a huge fan of the athletes, even though you they know, take up more than half the school. So
that's the D3 motto, man. I mean, at the end of the day, they're not, they get the athletes there because that's the profit for the school because we're not on scholarship. But the end goal is they want you to get your degree and just get out of here. You know, if anyone didn't know, Chris and I are actually in the same conference, the NCAC. So our schools play each other in our sports.
That's right.
Ohio Wesleyan is just a powerhouse in lacrosse. And they have been since the 80s. You know, they played the Ohio State's Notre Dame's and they've won in the past. And I remember we went down there last year and played at OWU. And these guys, I was just talking to them because ball is always on the other side of the field. And I was just talking like, hey, do you like it here? You know, the school's great. You know, we get nice things and it's great, but you know, we don't really get the love that we deserve, you know, around the campus. And I guess that's just what happens when you go to a small school, you know?
It's so true.
I mean, definitely. the stands are empty. I mean, I get it. I mean, people have other things to do, but you know, Notre Dame games and Ohio State games, lacrosse games are never, you know, right.
Let's talk about the two highest paid NIL athletes in college right now. And, yeah. And that's between obviously Bronny James, son of LeBron James. And then along with that is Caitlin Clark, which yeah. I'd be surprised if you don't know her. She is the best women's college basketball ever.
All time. All time.
And it says here she takes in $3.1 million a year. And then, you know, Bronny, you probably can't even put
no
a price point on it. I mean, it says nearly 5 million in endorsements, but I mean, I could imagine more or less.
And the crazy part is Bronny comes from, like, you know, LeBron worked very hard and had a great career, but like yeah. Bronny doesn't need all this NIL money. Like, it's crazy to me. It really is. And you know, Caitlin Clark, 3.1 million. Imagine if we were 19 or 20 in college and we had $3.1 million, I'd probably be doing some dumb stuff, man, let me tell you.
Right.
Buying kegs or whatever rounds on me at the bar, it would not be a good idea.
I don't – if Caitlin Clark goes to the NWA WNBA this year, I'd be very surprised. She needs to stay in college as long as possible.
I agree. Because
that's where the money is.
I agree. And, you know, not that the WNBA isn't serious, but their market is just not as big as the NBA's. But – women's college basketball, especially Iowa, is a great market, and she could cap out her NIL, save it, go to the WNBA, make some good money still, but right. She will still have that cushion from all of her NIL money from Iowa. If I was yeah. her financial advisor, if I was her accountant or dad or whatever, that's what I would tell her to do as well.
I agree. Someone who I forgot is Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah,
who got offered, I think it was $25 million from the Ohio State alumni.
Whew.
That said, hey, stay here and don't go to the NFL.
Yeah, but he declared.
he said he's going to the draft. But the thing about that $25 million, that's not NIL. That's just a gift.
Yeah,
no tax on it. It's like, here's $25 million. Stay.
You know, and that doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It is crazy because why isn't who's the running back at Ohio State? His name is Trey Henderson or something. I forget his name.
Something like that, yeah.
But he's a good running back, and he could have declared this year as well, but he didn't. He didn't get any money offered from the Ohio State alumni board. You know, he's right. The only returner, and he's not getting anything, and I feel really bad for the guy.
I know. I feel really bad for him too. But let's just say this. Next year, NCAA football, everyone's going to get paid. You know why?
$500 for player.
$600.
$600 a player.
So the new NCAA football EA Sports game is coming out. What was it, 2014? Was that the last time they made the game?
2014 was the last game. That was the last one.
That was awesome. I think it was like a Michigan running back. What was his name on the cover?
It wasn't Kenneth. No, 2014. I'm looking this up because I need to know this as well.
Anyways, but that was one of the best sport video games ever. You know, that goes along with like 2K16 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like how good it was. So anyways, for the past, the game stopped because part of a lawsuit with the new NIL stuff, the rights in 2013, and EA Sports discontinued the game and reached a settlement with former college football players who sued the company.
Yeah.
And that was the end of it.
That and broke my heart.
Go ahead.
That broke my heart. I love playing college football, the video game. I never got to play football. I was always small, but I still played hockey and lacrosse for some reason. But I never got to play football. And for some reason, like college football, NCAA, that always differed from just playing Madden. Like Madden, you're in the NFL, but college has just a different perspective of the game. Like there's a college atmosphere, you know.
Right.
You know, it's much more fun. You know, Madden's fun, but college football is the best, man. You could bring a dynasty like Wyoming, make them a national championship, beating Alabama. Like, that's fun, man. It's so much fun. Better than, you know, the Bears beating the whoever's the Kansas City. Like, that's more realistic than Wyoming beating Alabama.
Yeah, I love college football.
I love college football.
Yeah. So, can you explain? Oh, wait, who's on the cover, Trevor? The
cover is Denard Robinson.
Was he Michigan running back?
Michigan State quarterback. Or Michigan quarterback, not Michigan State. My apologies.
Oh, okay. All right. Man, he was good.
He was good.
So can you explain the EA, kind of like this, how the video game works and how everyone's getting paid?
So what's happening is EA Sports, they're saying that the players are going to get paid $600 from the NIL. So EA Sports is paying every single player that is submitting their name and that are saying, hey, you can use my name, my number, my image and likeness or whatever for this video game. They're giving them $600. And when you think about it, that's a lot of money considering how many teams. I think there's 125 teams that are going to be in this game. That's a lot of money. You know, these guys have 60, 70-man rosters. I mean, that's a lot of money. Now, there are a lot of players who have decided to opt out of this.
Yeah.
I personally don't know why they are. I wouldn't even care about the money. I honestly would just put my name in for free just because when do you get to say you've been in a video game? $600 may not look like a lot, but in college, it probably does go a lot longer of a way. So if those red shirts aren't on any NIL deals, I take the $600 regardless and just be like, hey, I'm in a video game.
I think the problem or the difference is the players don't want to be graded on overall.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. They're like, well, no, I'm not a, 75 overall. I'm a 90 overall or whatever.
Yeah.
I think when they send them the money, they're like, okay, this is going to be your overall in the game.
Yeah. And they're kind of like, and you see, this is how good you are in our, your $600. And here's a free copy of the game as well.
All right.
I did find it interesting, and I love Arch Manning. You know, I respect him for what he does on and off the field. He decided to opt out of this game. So his name will not be in the game for Texas's backup quarterback. Quinn Ewers is coming back, so he'll probably get like a 99 overall. But I really thought that once Arch Manning said that, hey, I'm not going to be in this game. I just want to focus on football. I don't care about the money. He already makes a lot of money via NIL deals anyways. I think a lot of players saw them like, who really cares? Just a video game. So I think that was very interesting as well.
That is an interesting take for sure. I also like kind of video game. They don't have any coaches, so the coaches don't get any money.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
Oh, you don't like it. You would like to have the coaches?
I would love to have it, man. Like, I know he just retired, but I always thought, like, man, what if I saw little Nick Saban just get mad on the sideline, man? Or what if I took Nick Saban's job from him? Or I go over to Notre Dame and take Marcus Freeman's job. Like, that'd be cool. That's part of the aesthetic.
That'd be kind of cool. You could have, like, a coach's journey or something like that.
Exactly. Exactly, Chris. Just like in Madden, like, you could be a coach. I always want to be Bill Belichick, but that's not happening. But,
right.
I think if the coaches make it part of the experience too, because coaches are very intricate in college football. Like Chip Kelly, been at UCLA forever. Now he's at Ohio State as an OC. That's huge to me. You hear Chip Kelly like, oh, UCLA's head coach, man. He's been there forever. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not anymore. But,
yeah.
Can't wait
for this game out. I also like how people kind of have accepted NIL at this point, along with conference changes. I honestly got a little bit tired of the talk of like, football's not what it used to be and all this stuff. At the same time, I'm like, adapt or die,
Yeah.
So, college football's changing and there's nothing you can do. You can look at the TV and be like, oh, why is UCLA in the Big Ten? I'm sorry. It's what's happening. Yeah. So I think everyone's kind of accepting that at this point, and I'm really happy that everyone is. So,
you know, it's just a part of evolution. You know, like I said earlier, Ivy League used to be the place to be, you know, in the 20s and 30s, you know, for football. West Point, Navy, they were all big names back in the day. Now it's the Southern schools, you know, the
right.
Alabamas, the Georgias, the LSUs. And it all comes down to NIL. And
it's all money. It's all business. Money.
The college football is turning more into a business than the game.
Yeah.
But it's more of a game than the NFL, if that makes sense. I mean, the NFL is complete business. You show up, you get paid. You get paid to do your job. Otherwise, you get cut. In college football, it's, all right, maybe you don't have a good game, but you play harder because you want to get to the NFL, and you can make some extra money on the side. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, I mean,
there is still that heart in college football, but it's definitely gotten less.
I agree. I mean, look at Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
So every week he'd be like, there's no better place than Michigan. I love Ann Arbor so much. They win the national championship. He's like, all right, I'm going to go to the Chargers.
Yep.
He's like, well, is that money? Do you want to be in LA? What's going on there? You just said you're in your favorite spot in the world, and now you're going to leave.
And he's had his stints in the NFL, and they were good.
He was good. That was an interesting move.
It's debatable. Well, I mean, I look at it like this. My dad always made it really clear that, you know, Nick Saban never really cut it out in the NFL. And that's fine. He gave it a shot. He was at the best of the best. But he realized college was his thing. And Nick Saban has said multiple times, college is my passion. I love helping these young men grow into guys and get them to the NFL. I thought Jim Harbaugh was at that phase too. He said, he said it. I love Michigan. I don't want to leave Michigan. And then he leaves, like, out of the blue. So it is definitely – it was an interesting move. I agree.
Definitely. Man, I wonder if the listeners can tell, but we like college football more than we like college basketball. But
100%. 100%. But still, go UF.
And then, wait for a later episode. We can talk about the Bears. Man, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we will have to talk about that, man.
So it's getting about that time. I'm really interested in this closing bell argument because usually our closing bell argument is more of a shorter segment, and we kind of just talk about one thing. You're like, like Popeyes or Chick-fil-A more.
Yeah, this is serious.
This is serious.
This is
So we're doing our top 10 favorite movies. We're huge movie watchers. I like movies more than TV shows.
Me too.
More than I love movies. I probably watch 2 or 3 movies a week, and that's terrible. But
Chris, I watch a movie a night.
I might do the same. I love watching movies. I mean, I just like turned on The Departed last night, like nothing. I was like, all right, let's turn it on.
Great movie.
I see your number 2. You want me to go first or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can all talk about our number 1.
So let's go for both of our number 1s is Goodfellas. Yeah. I think the biggest thing for Goodfellas, probably for you as well, is that you're entertained the whole time.
Yeah.
There's never a scene where you're falling asleep or it's not interesting or there's not awesome, like an awesome soundtrack in the background. There is amazing actors, amazing music, amazing plot throughout the whole movie. You look up and you just see like one of the best actors of all time on the screen. You like look down, you're like, oh my gosh, it's Ray Liotta. Oh, Robert De Niro.
Joe Pesci. The list goes on and on. And the movie just flows. It flows perfect. And the music's great.
Right.
Oh my gosh. I mean, even Samuel L. Jackson's in Goodfellas.
Yeah, for what? He probably only has like 10 minutes though.
But... Yeah, yeah. He made a quick role, but still he was what was his name? Oh, I forget his name. But it was just fun. Like, the movie just flows. All those guys who are in the mob movies from back in the day are all in the same movies. So like Paulie from The Sopranos, he was in this for a little bit, which was fun to see. Big Pussy from The Sopranos, he was in it too. Like all these guys have been in the same movies because they all were in the mob at one point. So it's really authentic too, which I think is the best part.
Definitely. So number 2, we share number 1, but I think that's about it that we share.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go number 2, Godfather. 3, No Country for Old Men. Do you have that on your list?
I do not have No Country for Old Men on my list.
Wow. I'm surprised. Okay. Good Will Hunting, Shawshank, 6, Saving Private Ryan. Wow. Where is Saving Private Ryan on this list? You don't have it. Prisoners. Have you seen Prisoners, Trevor?
I have.
And you didn't think it was top 10 for you?
Nope.
All right. Then we have I have The Dark Knight, Whiplash, and There'll Be Blood. Pretty solid list. What do you think about that list?
I have no qualms. I think that it's really hard to narrow down top 10 movies. When I was picking my list, I picked what do I enjoy the most, you know,
okay,
aside from what is critically, you know, a better movie. Like, you have No Country for Old Men, you know, Saving Private Ryan is phenomenal. Good Will Hunting is a great movie. I just didn't put them on my top 10 because I enjoyed watching other movies that might not be critically appraised. But obviously, I'm a big fan of all of those movies. I love all of them. I really do. Whiplash is great.
Before you even name your list, I need to point out number 6. That is an amazing, amazing pick.
Thank you.
Listeners, if you don't know what Almost Famous is, it is, I would say, probably the best music movie ever.
Yeah.
What do you think? Because what is it supposed to be, the time period? Like late 70s?
70s. It's the late 70s, or mid 70s, actually. It was in 74. Yeah. And it's about this young kid who wants to be a journalist, and he wants to cover a band. He wants to get into journalism, and the Rolling Stone actually gives him an assignment to go cover this band, Stillwater. And Stillwater is supposed to be like a Creedence Clearwater Revival, which is one of Chris's favorites. And he travels with the band. He spends time with the band, and the band was really accurate on how bands in the mid 70s acted. And it's just a great movie. It really captures the essence of what the 70s was in Southern California and music in general. And the rises and the falls of all great bands. We definitely might have to do a podcast on this movie like we did There Will Be Blood.
Definitely. That's a good one to do it on, too.
See what the listeners would think about that. But
all right, go ahead, Trevor. 1 through 10, let's hear it.
So 1 through 10 for me is, number 1 is Goodfellas, obviously. Number 2 is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I love
that movie so much. Number 3 is The Godfather, absolutely. 4 is Raging Bull. You know, you got Pacino and De Niro. 5 is Heat, and this is, I know, my dad always sends me like tweets about Heat and like how great of a movie this is, but it's just a great movie with Pacino and De Niro.
So intense.
Yeah. 6 is Almost Famous. 7 is Inglourious Basterds. Love that movie. 8 is There Will Be Blood. 9 is The Departed. And 10 is Pulp Fiction.
All right. So
what do you think about that list?
We have There Will Be Blood. I have There Will Be Blood 10. That used to be higher for me, but I think I just watched other. I can put There Will Be Blood anywhere on my top 10 list.
Yeah. A lot of these are interchangeable.
I could put There Will Be Blood at 2. I can put it at 7. I can put it at 10. I mean, I almost put Departed on there. Yeah. Man, Departed is so good.
You watched it last night.
I know. The only reason I'd put Inglourious Basterds on it is because it's just a tad corny with Brad Pitt.
No, everything, I agree.
Everything besides that is amazing. What's his name? Christopher Waltz. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The Jew Hunter. Oh, he's fantastic in that movie.
Colonel Hans, oh, he was good, man.
Yeah.
The way his mannerisms and how he talked, he's serious and fun. It's beautiful. He's a phenomenal actor.
So good.
I needed a war movie on my list, and the only reason why I didn't pick Saving Private Ryan was because I just enjoy watching Glorious Bastards just a tad bit more. But Saving Private Ryan is amazing. It's so passionate. You know, war is a tough time, and it really does a good job covering that.
Do you know Tom Hanks lost actor of the year to Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
That year. So he was getting awarded for actor of the year for Saving Private Ryan. I think Jim Carrey, he did the Truman Show.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a toss because the Truman Show is really good too.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know. But, you know, I think around the same time there was a movie called Life is Wonderful.
Okay.
It's an Italian film, and Roberto Benigni won the Oscar for the best male actor. And I saw a TikTok of Jim Carrey, like, kind of, he was presenting an award and he was kind of like fake crying. He was like, oh, it's good. It's good. You know? Yeah, it was
funny.
But, oh, man, Saving Private Ryan is definitely it's an honorable mention for me as well.
Definitely. I need to watch Raging Bull. I've only seen it once.
Raging Bull is phenomenal. Again, another rise and the fall of someone. Talks about Jake LaMotta, a boxer out of Brooklyn. He had some issues outside of boxing, which led to his fall, but he was a great boxer, man.
Right. Really
was.
Yeah. All right, Trevor. Well, that about wraps up, unless you have anything else.
I got nothing, Chris. Good to be back.
It's amazing to be back. It's amazing to have our sponsor. We're going to have a stretch of episodes coming up. we're back into it. Summer's creeping up. I just a lot to look forward to, Trevor.
Absolutely. I'm excited, Chris.
So for our listeners out there, our next episode will probably be Bears, Trevor. Talk about the Bears.
Talk about
or
the
it
Bears.
could be a movie run. I'm not sure.
We'll take a
And then I think Masters probably in the next 2 weeks. We do that every year. So
yes, we do.
Oh, that one's always really exciting.
Yeah.
Jim Nance is coming.
Okay.
Let's get him on the podcast.
All right. Let's get going.
All right. All right, Trevor. All right. It's good seeing you, Chris, man. Hang in there.
Good talking to you, man. You as well.